Thank you. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the Gospel according to Matthew. The Gospel according to Matthew, the very first chapter. And we're going to pick up where we left off last week in the 18th verse. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son. And you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me again as we pray. Father, I ask that you would take your word, that you would penetrate our hearts. Father, that this would just not be another celebrative season, that this would be a time that we elevate Jesus as our Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And Father, that we serve him not for a day, but for every day that we live. Father, I ask that we would know the truth that Christmas brings, a heart of joy, a heart of purpose, a heart of challenge, and a heart of peace. Thank you for what you'll do in this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's not a surprise to you. It is Christmas. This is Christmas Sunday. We're going to talk about Christmas. We're going to talk about Jesus' birth. Now, Jesus' birth shouldn't catch you by surprise, although it seems to catch a lot of people by surprise. People get to this week and they think Christmas is coming, and they think, oh, I better get a present for somebody. Somebody you may have left out. Somebody you may not have thought of. And so you kind of rack your brain and you try to figure it out because it's a surprise. Well, it's not a surprise. It comes the same time every year on the 25th, and it's figured out, and it should not be a surprise to you. The birth of Jesus took a lot of people by surprise. It was a surprise to Mary. Now, in truth, Mary, like every other young Jewish woman, would have thought, perhaps I could be the mother of the Messiah. What a thought. Others had thought that. Her mother had thought that. Her grandmother had thought that. For ages they had thought that, and yet the child had not come. And now an angel comes to her, and there's a surprise. Yes, she's going to have a child. And her confusion was, how in the world am I going to have a child? For I haven't had relations with a man. And she understood biology, which is something a lot of people in today's world don't understand. And she understood how things would happen, and she just knew, okay, God, if this is what you want, you're going to have to do it. Joseph, we'll talk more about him in a little while, but yeah, he was surprised. The shepherds minding their peace, minding their flock, doing their job. These sheep that they are tending would be sacrifices to take away the sins of the people for 1 year. They didn't know it, but their true purpose was going to be out of work. Because Jesus, the child that was born, would be the ultimate sacrifice for all sin of all mankind of all time. Yes, there are a lot of surprises. I think it's kind of like the second coming. I don't know if you understand this. Jesus is coming back. He came, he lived, he died, he was buried, he rose again, he ascended into heaven, and he is coming back. You've heard us talk about that, right? If you haven't, you haven't been around long. So we talk about the fact Jesus is going to come back, and you say, yeah, I know Jesus is going to come back. And you're thinking, yeah, Jesus is going to come back, but you're not really thinking Jesus is going to come back. You see, I know where you are because I live in the world too, and we know that Jesus is going to come, but you really think he's going to come today? Well, the Bible tells us when you least expect it, that's when it's going to happen. My friend, it could be today. But that was like it was for Mary and Joseph. They knew the Messiah was going to come, but they didn't know when it was going to be. They believed it would happen. They just didn't really think it was going to be in their world. And they certainly didn't believe it was going to be them. 700 years before Jesus was born, Isaiah told of Jesus' birth. 700 years before Jesus would die on the cross, Isaiah told of the crucifixion of Jesus in Isaiah 53. He says, after the depiction of the cross, "Who shall declare his generation?" Now, they knew that the Messiah would have a generation that would tie him to David, that would tie him to Abraham. Who's going to come and declare that generation? And if you were with us last week, I did. But long before me, Matthew did. And Luke did. They tell us the generations of the Messiah, the generations that prove that Jesus is the one. His generation line leads to David, leads to Abraham. He is one that is qualified to be the Messiah. Having set the stage, giving the legal lineage of Jesus through Joseph, now Matthew's ready to get down to business and tell us in verse 18 of the birth of Jesus. The word birth here is the same word that's used for Genesis. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." This is an amazing thing. In Matthew 1, we have the earthly beginning of the one who created the earth. Think about that for a while. Jesus created it, and then he came to be in it. Now, Matthew tells us the Jewish side. He tells us more of Joseph's side. We don't have a lot of information about Joseph. There's a lot more about Mary. It's kind of like a wedding. You know, we go to a wedding today, and it's all about the bride. There is a groom. If there wasn't, the cake would be unbalanced. But, you know, the groom has very little to do with it. And if you're a young man and you're planning to get married, just understand, it's her show. Things will go a lot easier if you just understand, yes, that's what I want too. And here's Joseph. He's in the background, but he's still very important. Now, I've researched this and I've gone through, and I know you've not read a lot of Joseph's words, so I've studied and I've memorized everything that Joseph said in the Bible. Every single word, I have it down. I used to think that he didn't say a word, but I found that, yes, he did. He said, "Call his name Jesus." And by the way, that's it. He doesn't say another single word in the Bible. He did say, "Call his name Jesus." If you don't get anything else right, you get right who Jesus is. He had to be kind of a strong, silent type. He was a carpenter by trade. And he doesn't speak much that we know. The Bible encourages us to be careful of our words, and maybe you can learn that from a man like Joseph. The Bible says, let every man be quick to hear, slow to wrath, and slow to speak. Now, this will help you at Christmas. You have a family gathering, people you're not normally around, but they all come in, and they talk from their perspective that may not be your perspective. Listen a while. Keep your mouth shut at times. You will have a more joyful season. There are some people through the ages that have spoken when they should not have, that have not spoken maybe when they should have spoken more. Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, you know that. Now, you may not know that, but you at least know that he made a Gettysburg Address. And it is astounding in its simplicity. It's only 10 sentences long. And yet it is in our nation's history. And as far as I know, it's still taught in schools. One of the few things that's still taught in schools, history-wise. Only 100 and, you know, less than 100 words. Washington was our first president. Washington set the standard. He set the standard of how to conduct himself in the office, which I wish people today would pay attention to. He set the standard of how to keep his remarks brief. His inaugural address was only 135 words. Now, at the opposite of that, the longest address was not President Trump. The longest address was William Henry Harrison. William Henry Harrison spoke for 8,445 words. And he should have been quiet. He spoke in a driving snowstorm. As a result of the length of his speech and the weather he was in, he caught pneumonia, died 31 days later, had a very short reign as president. Well, sometimes you need to be quiet. Joseph was the type of man Mary and Jesus needed. And yes, they needed him. It's amazing to think that Jesus had a need of a man, but Jesus had need of him. That's the way he orchestrated how things would be. He would put himself in the hands of two people, Mary, a teenage girl, and her husband. And they were there to protect the baby Jesus so that he might survive the time when he could not protect himself physically. So he would be able to live a perfect life, go to a cross, and offer his body for you and for me. And so Joseph was there. And he's not the only Joseph in Jesus' life. There were two Josephs that were very important to our salvation. One is this Joseph, who took care of Mary and took care of the baby and made sure that he was not killed and made sure that his life grew. And then there was a Joseph at the death of Jesus that came in and made sure that Jesus' body did not go to the garbage heap where it would have been burned. But instead, the body would be preserved, go to a tomb where he would rise again. You get this? God gave him two guys with the same names, with the same job, to protect the body of Jesus so that we ultimately might have a Savior that is risen. Jesus had two fathers. He had a heavenly father, he had an earthly father. Every kid needs two fathers. Today, some fathers are absent. We need fathers to be players. We need fathers to be in the game of raising their children, of guiding their children, of getting their children to Jesus. We need men that will stand up for what is right and lead their families in that way. We need men that will guide their families to be in Sunday school and worship that they will be here and they will make sure their family is here. Well, here is Joseph. He's going to be the spiritual leader of his family. And it doesn't take long to find Joseph's vexation. He's vexed. He's got a problem. It's a big problem. Verse 18, after his mother, Mary was betrothed to Joseph. After Mary was engaged to Joseph, those words tell us there was a love story. Now, the love story, Joseph was a carpenter, a young carpenter. Mary was a girl maybe in the house, maybe in the neighbor's house. He did work maybe for her parents, maybe for someone else. They got to talking and they talked, and in the talking, love bloomed. There's an interest and there's a relationship. Scripture tells us that they were betrothed. That means they were engaged. In Jewish life, marriage had at least three different steps. The first step was the contract. A contract of marriage, a contract between two families. This family and this family will be joined. That was the norm. Sometimes it was done before while the boy and girl were still very young. And then there was the betrothal. The betrothal was the engagement period, and that was the period where the couple got to know one another. There was no physical contact. Let me go back to say that again. There was no physical contact. You see, when physical contact comes in, a lot of the communication goes out. And so to get to know someone, you need to talk to someone, and you need to do it without the physical. And so they had this time where they would get to know one another, and they would understand one another, and they would find out what type of person the other person was. Listen, you need to get to know who you're going to marry. You need to get to, now you will think you know them when you marry them, but I guarantee you, you do not. But you should know something. You should have some understanding of them. You should know their purity in the Lord. You should know they know Jesus as their Savior. You need to be careful who you go out with. Who you go out with. The names have changed. We used to call it dating. You're going to marry somebody you date, so you should not date someone God would not have you marry. And that's just true. And so they're trying to do things right. They're trusting in God. They're believing God. They're pulled together. And they come to this betrothal stage. You need to be cautious. You need to seek God's desire in who you marry. And then the third stage is the consummation of the marriage, and there's that celebration time, and there would be a consummation of the marriage. It was during the engagement period that Joseph found he had a problem. Mary took a trip. See, she went away. She went to see her cousin. Her cousin Elizabeth was expecting. Now, people do that all the time. There are people that are expecting. That's not out of the ordinary. But her cousin Elizabeth was someone who was very old and probably was not thought to be somebody who could carry a child. So she went to see her cousin Elizabeth, and she stayed with her cousin Elizabeth for a while. That was okay with Joseph. He understood it. They were gone. And then she came back. Now, I don't know when things happen for her, but I do know people that are pregnant can only hide their pregnancy for a certain amount of time. And so when she came back, there was something obviously different about her. And Joseph had a problem. Mary was expecting a child, and he absolutely knew it was not his, for he had kept himself pure for God and for her. And Mary's expecting, and Mary tells him, well, Joseph, an angel came to me, and God did this. Now, put yourself in his shoes. Wouldn't that cause you a headache? A heartache? You want a believer, but wow, this is some kind of story. It was hard for Mary, but it was also hard for Joseph. Mary said, God has chosen me to be the mother of the Messiah. Remember, they had been waiting for the Messiah. Everybody had been waiting for the Messiah, just like you're waiting for the second coming of Jesus. And Joseph said, yeah, I know that's going to happen, but now? You? All those thoughts had to go through his mind. Maybe today you have a problem and you don't know which way to turn. Well, you turn to God. Joseph is a just man. Verse 19 tells us that. That means he's straight. He's trying to do things right. He's trying to live right by God. He's trying to do what God wants him to do. You know, we tell girls, we really make it heavy on girls to keep yourself pure for until you are married. Don't have any sexual intimacy until you're married. But listen, the same truth is there for boys. You know, Tim Tebow is a figure in sports. But one of the things that Tim Tebow regularly talked about was saving himself for the woman God had chosen for him. Praise God for men who will keep themselves as God desires. And so here's Joseph, and he's tried to do things right, and now there's something very wrong, and he's in a great deal of stress. He's caught between the fact of what the law says and what love says. Well, what did the law say? Maybe he just went to his Bible. Okay, go to your Bible. Deuteronomy 24:1. That verse tells a man he can separate from his fiance or from his wife if there's any impurity found. The law went on. The law said Mary, if it was found that she had had relations outside of marriage, Mary could be taken out and stoned to death. How is he going to kind of reconcile what the law says and what his heart says? Well, my friend, the law says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. If you sin, the reality is you are headed to a devil's hell because of that sin. That's what the law says. The love says God loves you, and God has a plan for you, and God doesn't want you in a devil's hell. How does God fix that? Well, both are fixed with Jesus. You remember the woman taken in adultery that was brought to Jesus, and they said, Jesus, what are you going to do about this? And Jesus writes in the dirt a little bit, and then he says, let the one that's without sin cast the first stone. And then he goes back to writing in the sand, and all of them drop their rocks because they know they're all sinful. Not a one of them can throw a rock at her. And she looks up, he looks up and says, where are your accusers? And does no one accuse you? He said, no, Lord. And then he says, neither do I. Jesus was the one that could have accused her. Jesus didn't have any sin. But Jesus knew he was going to go to the cross to pay for her sin. And so he just said, go and sin no more. This is Christmas. Jesus came to take our sins, to give us the gift of His love and care and eternity in heaven. That is Christmas. Joseph had convictions, but he also has compassion. So he's got it figured out in his mind. He's going to put her away, as the law said. But he's going to do it privately. Why is he going to do it privately? Because the people in that small town that he lived in were like people in our town. They're a bunch of gossips. People can't wait to tell that little tidbit of things that they found out. And they would twist it and they would turn it and they would hurt Mary. And he would not allow that to happen. So he would put her away privately to protect her, not to hurt her. He still loved her. See Joseph's vision. Joseph had a dream. In that vision, the angel of the Lord visited him and explained to him everything that was happened, that this child was from God. And God had moved in and God had brought the Messiah to her. Joseph, son of David, fear not to take unto you Mary, your wife. And Joseph had all kinds of fears. But the good news of Christmas is God can take your fears away. God can stay with you and care for you. And God was coming into this world to be with us. The angel tells Joseph what we know. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Joseph is let in on a godly secret. It's going to be a supernatural birth. Every birth is a miracle. Every single one is a miracle. Your birth was a miracle. Oh, but not like this miracle. Jesus was supernaturally conceived. He had an earthly mother, but no earthly father. Jesus had an earthly mother that he might be human, that he might get a body. For he needed a body to be able to offer it for you and for me. He was divine and he had a divine father because he would be sinless. God revealed to Joseph that Mary was still pure. Her pregnancy was by God's direction. Then the angel reveals the nature of the baby. Verse 21, she shall bring forth a son. You shall call his name Jesus. Jesus means Jehovah saves. God saves. Every time you hear the name Jesus, it is God saves. In the Old Testament, it was Yeshua, Joshua. God saves. It was a common name, but now it's a holy name. In Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the most wonderful name of all. Jesus can save you from your sins and me. The only answer to our sin problem is Jesus. The only answer for Joseph was Jesus. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. Today, you want to know what Christmas is about? Call upon the name of Jesus. Ask him to come into your heart. Take your sins. Save your soul. Verse 22. All this was done that it might be fulfilled. Now, Matthew's big on the word fulfilled. Jesus fulfilled all the prophecies that he was to fulfill. Isaiah 7:14 says, a virgin shall be with child. I've heard people debate over the fact of whether the virgin birth is important. Yes, it's important. Why is it important? If Jesus had not been born of a virgin, he would have been born of an earthly father. If Jesus had been born of an earthly father, he would have had a sin nature. If Jesus had had a sin nature, he would have sinned. If Jesus had sinned, he could not be our Savior, and we would all be doomed to hell. There's another name given. His name shall be called Jesus. His name shall be called Emmanuel. What did they give the second name? Just kind of underlining what's happened here. Emmanuel means God with us. That's the whole reason there was Jesus. That's the whole reason there's Christmas, for God to be with us. And
He will come into your heart. He will save your soul, and he will be with you forever. He will never leave you nor forsake you, because he is Emmanuel, God with us. John 1:14 says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The good news of Christmas is God came down. God came down so we might go up. That is Jesus. So Joseph was vexed. He had a vexation. And then Joseph has a victory. He's got a decision to make. What's he going to decide? Put her away? Kill her? What's he going to decide? He can do either one. That would be illegal. And he could put her away. He can have her killed. Verse 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel had bidden him. Joseph would be faithful to God's will. The greatest single thing you can do in life is be faithful to God's will. Find God's will and do it. I can tell you something. It's God's will that you be in worship. It's God's will that you study the Bible, come to Sunday school. It's God's will. It's God's will that you pray. You should be praying. It's God's will that you allow him to forgive your sins and save your soul. It's God's will that you tell other people about Jesus. All of that is wrapped up in Christmas, doing God's will. What about Joseph? He did God's will. He stood by Mary. He stood by Jesus. He took Mary to Bethlehem. He was by them in the manger. He took care of them. And later we'll see that he took them to Egypt, but another day. You need to be faithful to doing what God has told you to do. Do it now. If you mess up, ask him to forgive you, and then do it then. But always doing God's will in the present. He was going to be faithful to the Son of God. In verse 25, Joseph did not know Mary until she brought forth her firstborn son. And he, Joseph, this is the biggie, this is where he spoke, called his name Jesus. Now, most people would do a double take. First son should be Joseph. No, it's Jesus. There was no doubt in his mind what this child should be named. Luke tells us Mary said, call him Jesus. Well, that's helpful. It really is good when the husband and wife agree on the name. And so both come together. They have God's leading, and they name him Jesus. Jesus was born. It was hardly noticed on the earth. Oh, but what an eternal difference. Jesus. Christmas is about salvation coming and being available. Jesus. God leaving a throne, staying in his mother's womb for 9 months, confining himself, living at the disposal of people, walking and seeking to touch lives and change eternities, going to the cross, giving himself for you and for me, dying, raising again the third day to the glory of the Father, Jesus. Christmas is a season to hold to the truth of Jesus. If you've never met Jesus, would you come to know him? Just come down the aisle, say, I want Jesus. We'll pray together. Jesus will come into your heart. He'll save your soul. Maybe you've made that decision, but you've kind of drifted away from him. This is a great day. Christmas is a great time to say, okay, I'm going to get right now. I'm going to live for him now. I'm going to do what Joseph did. I'm just going to follow God's will. In following God's will, you'll find the true Christmas. Let's stand for prayer. Father, I thank you for Jesus. Oh, I thank you for Christmas. I thank you for the truth that you came. You came, and you came, Father, at Christmas, and you came to Mary and Joseph, but you came for me. And you came for my friends who are here, Father, and you came for all that are listening to this message. Father, let us know that you came. But Father, your coming doesn't mean anything if we do not receive you. So allow us, Father, the wisdom to say that we want Jesus, to allow Jesus to come into our hearts, to forgive our sins, to save our souls. And Father, if we've come to know you, move in our hearts that we would make this Christmas the day, the time, that we're going to start living like we know you, sharing the good news that others might know the truth of Jesus. Thank you for what you're going to do in this moment of decision. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you come as we sing?